Welcome, everyone, to the Peaceful Planet Show. You were listening to a special song titled Passing Through Warm Places, as inspired from spirit by the great late George Harrison. And we feature the music of the late Beatles on our program each and every week on the Peaceful Planet through the wonderful mediumship of Bob Murray at thestarsstillshine.com. And I'll be reading some of those lyrics that I have channeled in from Harrison in just a moment. But I want to give you kind of an overview of our special program today, and I want to wish all of our listeners and the listening audience a very wonderful day, and we hope the show uplifts you. Our theme today is going to be world peace and how various artists, like our special guest Joanne Macko and myself and others who channel, others who are writing music, can actually do something inspirational for world peace. And it happens every day. And we as lightworkers need to pay attention to these kinds of creative outlets and creative musings that we all seem to have from time to time and become more expressive of our desire for global unity. So I want to go through a number of announcements that I have. I have been off air for a time, and I'm back up on air. And as well, we have, you know, fall coming in, and here in the Midwest, it's been beautiful with some very lovely weather, just cool and crisp, and the apples are ripening, and things are happening in the fall right here in Illinois, which usually I joke on my program that this is all corn and bean country, which it is, and there isn't a lot of light work, but it just so happens this fall. There's some light work coming up, and Joanne is going to share with us about her conference as well. But I just want to mention that I will be appearing at the Spirit Seeker Conference next weekend, September 28th in St. Louis, and I will have a booth with my inspirational art and readings. You may sign up in advance of Sunday's event for a reading at my email at marciapi2002@yahoo.com. I will have my artwork, angelic artwork, and artwork of Princess Di and Mother Teresa, as well as books with love from Diana, Queen of Hearts. And a friend of mine, Rosalind, is going to be doing some crystal healing with me in the readings. And so we want to mention that event in St. Louis. And you can find out more by visiting spiritseeker.com. Then coming up the following weekend, I'm going to be in Benton, Illinois with the George Harrison Days. On October 4th, a very special event is going to occur. And Pete Best, who is the former drummer of the Beatles, will be appearing at a bed and breakfast that belonged to George Harrison's sister in Benton, Illinois. And a very special friend, Bob Bartel, turns me on to this event. And I will be there with some Lennon prints and possibly be channeling John Lennon and George Harrison for those that might be interested. I'll also have some CDs and my books, of course, and some of the art. And the website for that event, and that's in Benton, Illinois, at a bed and breakfast called Hard Days Night BNB, BNB.com. It's HARDDAYSNITEBNB.com. And you can log on to their website and see how that home that belonged to George Harrison's sister was saved and is now a bed and breakfast thanks to the efforts of Bob Bartel. And, of course, there's going to be other well-known, famous Beatles people at this event, so you don't want to miss that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Coming up right here in Benton, Illinois, where George Harrison first visited the States before he was known as a Beatle. Very important historic site. And then October 17th, 18th, and 19th, in Chicagoland, and we have Joanne Macko here on the line. So Joanne, I sometimes call you Joan or Joanne. Would you give us a little more information about the event?
Sure. First of all, thank you for having me on your show, Marcia.
Well, it's delightful to have you, dear.
The show that we're doing, the event, is called the Lightworkers Midwest Conference. This is an annual event that is held at the Wyndham Lyle Hotel in Lyle, Illinois. It conveniently located only 24 miles from the O'Hare Airport. And what I did is I put together what I feel is a really fabulous gathering of light workers. There are some healers, best-selling authors that come in from all over the nation. And the attendees come in from all over the nation as well. And my passion is to get people out there to really open up to the gifts within them, you know, to stop giving their power away. You know, we are at that time of raising our vibrations now to bring peace on this planet. And it's just a compilation of everything that I've learned, and it's a fabulous event. We get a standing ovation every year. It's rated the highest, and I'm committed to keeping this, you know, as long as we can. So.
And the website for that is lightworkersconference.com, correct?
Yes, lightworkersconference.com.
Mm-hmm. And there's some beautiful pictures up, and it's not too late to still register and come up to the event in Chicago, correct?
Correct. And if you mention this radio program, I'll give you a special discount.
Okay. Well, that would be wonderful. Thank you. And thank you on behalf of all of our listeners out there. So anyway, I wanted to read a few of the lyrics as we were listening to Passing Through Warm Places as channeled and inspired by George Harrison. And just to set the tone for today's show, and then I'm going to read one of Diana's messages and only an excerpt. We'll move into some readings, and Joanne will help us with that if she feels so inspired. If not, that's fine, too. We'll give you a call-in number. And then we're going to talk the rest of the day with Joanne about her wonderful artwork and her work for peace and how it's influenced the international scene, etc. So it's going to be a great show, and stay with us. The lyrics that were channeled in are Passing Through Warm Places, and I've been working with Bob Murray for some time on this project of channeling in lyrics from the other side to actually, the thought is to eventually have these musical works produced by a musician that may have a sound a lot like the Beatles, and so if you're interested, you can always send me an email. We do get many inquiries about this music that we're doing. So the lyrics go, love is true forevermore, at peace you know, I am eternal in the one and light. And we know it's true, passing through the warm places of my heart. We rejoice in only love here, knowing this is true, we are eternal, only love is true. We rejoice in owning truth, heart to heart here. Only love is true. You can look down on earth and see the children there, the hunger there, and see the smiles there when you can do something to help assist the cause of peace, for only peace is true. We are traveling through warm places, and only love is true. And that was inspired by the wonderful spirit of George Harrison, who is doing some amazing music on the other side with John. So we'll have a chance to hear more about that from Benton, Illinois. And now I'm going to read an excerpt from Lady Diana, who I have not brought forth on the show for some time now. And if you're listening for the first time, you may want to check out my website at www.dianaspeakstotheworld.com, where many of her older messages are posted on the site index. And I've been working with Diana for many years on world affairs. And so this is a kind of a message about the work we've done for the past 8 years. And my latest book is With Love from Diana, Queen of Hearts, which is not about her love life. It is about the work that she is doing to send her universal love to humanity at this time by intervening in world affairs to help us create and understand what we need to do to create peace in the Middle East. So this is the late Princess Diana speaking here, and it's a great honor to bring her forth on this show. It will have been over 11 years since my passing, and almost 8 years that my channel and I have done this work for the peace of the world together. We have reached an audience throughout the world, having traveled together on a journey for peace. We want more to know the work I have done to set right the situation in the Middle East. For most of the bloodshed and war is still continuing this evening, even as I speak through my channel, with the sad state of affairs in Iraq. My channel was in touch with Mr. Colin Powell for 4 years, during which time my messages were read weekly, and these very solutions to the situation you call the War on Terror were provided through my insight from the vast collection of ideas known as the Akashic Realms, and I foresaw many disastrous things for the United States, many of which were prevented through the intent and work of my channel, who thought not of herself but to send these messages onward from me in email. So it was that my words went around the world to the diplomats I knew in life, and they gained wisdom from my wisdom, so to speak. So if I could convey to your listeners today that if they were intent on world peace, to look further into your book for world peace, titled With Love from Diana, Queen of Hearts. For it is I, Diana, who write through my channel, and I still speak, and I'm still around. And for those who doubt, please look again at my site on the net, on dianaspeaks.com and on dianaspeakstotheworld.com, where I work as an ascended master. I am here, just call on me, Diana, and I'll come in an instant as a light worker and peace worker for Earth. I send on all my love. So that's an abbreviated version of the channeling that I did last night with Lady Diana, and you can visit my site at dianaspeakstotheworld.com. The other site mentioned is that belonging to Andrew Russell Davis, who's a full voice channel for Lady Diana. His work is quite interesting. So anyway, without further ado, I want to extend a very warm welcome to our special guest, Joanne Macko. Joan, it's great to have you, and thank you for your patience as we ran through the channelings and the announcements.
Oh, thank you.
All right. So I'd like to read your bio, if I may.
Sure.
Joanne Koenig Macko is an internationally known artist, spiritual coach, author, and dynamic lecturer. The spirited intuitive facilitator has served thousands of clients from all over the world. Her passion is to share her dynamic paintings and help others realize their true gifts and purposes in life. And you can find Joan on the net at http://angelic-art.com. And then to continue, her ethereal art has been presented to countless world leaders and has served as Director of International Angels for World Peace under the umbrella of the World Citizen Diplomats. She has been listed in Who's Who of Women in Business. Joanne currently has reps in Japan and thousands of clients who collect her inspirational art and see her for spiritual life coaching. Her passion for producing the Lightworkers Conference annually stems from years of experience in the corporate world, which she left behind to pursue her vision of helping raising the world's mass consciousness. She is currently writing a book on all she's learned from life, her clients, and the many illusions we buy into that affect our lives. So, Joanne, you have wonderful art. I've admired it for years, and we did post an angel to the show page.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. I wanted to ask, when did you first get into actually doing your angel art?
The angel art actually started in spring of 94. I actually had an angel appear to me. And I was basically...
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, it was... I was going through a crisis period of my life, and that usually happens with many that have had angelic communication or intervention.
Yeah.
It started earlier when I was almost killed by a drunk driver only 10 days after my honeymoon, and
oh
I was
God.
Told that I probably would never walk again. The car was totaled. And fast forward, it took a good 7 years to heal through that experience. But in that experience, I was taught by my guides how a body can heal and getting past the illusions that we buy into. For instance, I was told that in order for me to heal, I would have to forgive this man that hit me and find the blessing in that situation. And of course, being human, you're like, where's the blessing in this? But when they showed me that they refer to this as Earth School, it's the greatest academy of any place in the universe, that we come here to either learn or teach lessons, and that this man and I had a sacred contract before we came here so that I could go through this experience with him so that I could, A, learn forgiveness, and, B, learn that we can all heal ourselves. So
wow.
When I finally got it and saw through that illusion, every night I would lay in bed and I'd say, thank you, wherever you are, whoever you are, for allowing me to go through this. what an honor. And when I start doing that, it shifted my whole paradigm of what I knew in life. And I started walking, I started running, and sooner or later I started playing tennis. I ended up fourth in the whole nation out of 20,000
women. How seriously injured were you? You couldn't move? You couldn't walk at one time?
Oh, yeah. There was nothing left of this car. I mean, they pried me out of this thing. And
oh, my God.
Literally, here I was, you know, 10 days after my honeymoon, I'm in an emergency room, and they are poking pins and needles in me, and I couldn't feel anything from my waist down. So you get these life flashes, like your life is up over as you know it, even though it was just beginning, being just married. So...
How devastating. And where was your husband in all of this?
He was in the car. He suffered a concussion, but I got the worst of it because the way we were hit, it was I was a passenger.
Devastating.
And he was doing 100 miles an hour. But through that healing, I learned so much that this is why I'm writing a book. I couldn't possibly even cover the tip of the iceberg in an hour. But fast forward, an angel appeared to me, what I perceived as an angel. It was about 7 feet high. It was all white light. It was, I remember it was holding a ball of light, and that ball kept getting brighter and whiter. And it was almost like handing this ball to me, and it said to me, "We were always here for you. We were always here for you." They repeated it. And I was basically shown to go outside, and I had to be outside, they said, because of the oxygen levels and everything was much higher, and connect with nature, and that I was to put my paintbrushes down and paint an angel. Well, didn't know how to paint an angel if you paid me $1 million. I was painting other scenes at the time, historic landmarks, but not even close to anything visual, visionary art.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically showed me that my work was high vibrational, omnidimensional art, which I had no idea what that term meant. And what came out in the course of the day was this, what I call now the guardian angel. She's the first one that ever came out. And as these angels would come to me with each painting I was to do, they showed me, I was getting a lesson from them. And the third one was World Peace Angel. And that one, they told me many world leaders would receive this and that I would be speaking to many nations. Well, I'm like, almost like, right. So here I was in, at the time I was in a little town, you know, that no one even knew was on the map, and they're telling me I was going to be reaching many world leaders. But fast forward, I was standing in the UN presenting my work to 23 nations.
That's amazing. So how did you reach the UN with your angelic art?
Well, when I finished World Peace Angel, I knew this one was special because they told me it would reach so many ambassadors and leaders.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did is I put all my savings into printing that lithograph. When I tell you everything, I put it all on the line because I knew after seeing that image of that angel that appeared to me that something was going on. Now, at the time, my husband probably thought I was a little off the wall. And,
you just have to ignore it and go on, don't you?
So he said, if you want to play with angels, that's your business, you know, but you have whatever you make on that, you have to put back in your business. We had that agreement. And I put all my money into printing those lithographs, and then I had no money left to get it out to the world. And I remember having a meltdown in my living room. I was living in Connecticut at the time. And I said to God, I says, look, I did what you asked. I says, I need an angel now to help me. And I turned around, and there was that 7-foot being. And I wish someone had a picture of my face because I'm sure my mouth must have dropped open. And it was such a peace that came over me as this being was right there in the room with me. And I had just been calling all these major magazines to see what ad rates would be to advertise that angel to get it out to the world. And forget it, they were like $157,000 for a one-time ad in a major magazine like Good Housekeeping. And when this being dissipated and it went away, the phone rang, and it was a major magazine that called and said that they had space on the inside cover of their biggest magazine issue, the Christmas issue, and that they were going to put the World Peace Angel in there. And for
and
no money down. Pardon me?
They were just going to do it, or did you still have to make payments on it or something?
Well, this was an ad that when I called previously, they were quoting me $157,000. But after this angel disappeared, in this magazine called me. They said, look, we're between a rock and a hard place because we had a cancellation and we have to go to press. So we'll give you this inside ad for only $1,500.
Sure.
But it could have been $15. I didn't have the money. So they said, look, just send us the art and we'll publish it and we won't bill you until the ad runs for the entire month. Now, that's a miracle. That ad,
that is amazing.
That World Peace Angel got out to the nation with no money down, not one penny.
Now, that is angelic intervention. That is divine intervention, Joanne.
And
that's amazing.
This is how they've been working, Marcia, with me. And I think the reason is because I'm doing this to help humanity. It's not in it, like, what's in it for Joanne? That's the big difference.
Yeah. Well, I can totally relate to that, too, because I am also an artist, and I work inspirationally, and I've given so much of it away, you know. But, it is hard to get your art out there. There's a lot of competition in the art world, and I've gone the route with, and I don't have much time for this anymore with the radio program, but the weekend events where you get the canopy and you have to do the easy up, which is, that's a misnomer. The easy up is the hardest thing in the world to assemble, and I used to rely on my husband to help me put it up, and he said, I quit. I'm not doing it, so that's when I quit, because they all require the easy up, and then
I'm suckering.
These fees of $400 and $500 to get, get into the fair, and then you're in, and then you never know if you're going to sell anything. And I sell a lot of prints, and I don't sell the originals very often. They're higher priced, and so you just kind of have to wait to see who comes along, and then you're hot and you're tired, and you come home and you can't move because of the easy stuff.
Boy, can I relate with that one.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I just haven't done a whole lot with it. If I have a chance to show my art inside, I take that in a minute. And I bought myself a display this last year that is a lightweight metal display. And even when I carry that, it's very hard on me. I have some back issues, But I can at least get by with that. I don't have to set up the whole thing. But I've given up on the easy up thing. But, I don't think people appreciate how hard artists work on their work and how long the hours and how you have to be kind of a obsessive compulsive person to be an artist, at least speaking for myself anyway, because unless it's perfect, you just can't quit, and you have to give up everything else around you for a while until you've got what you want. Isn't that the case with you?
In most cases, yes. But,
And now,
your
name
is going on that piece. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And I really like your style. It's very different than mine. And I noticed that you, it's all inspirational, but you use a lot of thick oil paint. Is it acrylic or oil that you're painting with?
I use acrylic.
Tell us about. Oh, it's acrylic. Okay.
Right.
And isn't it applied rather thickly to the canvas? And don't you use some special pigments too?
Well, what I do is they told me to put the brushes down, that I was to paint these with my bare hands. And that was kind of like, you've got to be kidding. And they says, look around you, child. Your toolbox is all around you. So I was picking up dried daylily stems, pieces of mica. They wanted me to crush minerals into all my paintings. And when the light reflects off of it, it throws an incredible light. So I think mine is different than most because I just use my bare hands. And for detail,
I didn't know that. You aren't using the brushes at all,
then. No. For detail, I use flower stems, twigs dipped in paint.
I see. And so how do you get the detail for the faces and the arms and all of that?
Well, for fine detail, I've already used, don't laugh, but prickly pear cactus needles dipped in paint. You can get amazing detail for eyelashes and eyebrows.
Oh, my goodness. I had no idea you were going to that level of sacrifice, not to touch a paintbrush.
Right.
So do you put rubber gloves on or you just put your hands right in the paint?
I always make sure that I buy non-toxic paint. I'm very, because always people have said, well, are you okay? There's most paint is poisonous. And I'm like, I make sure that I only use non-toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'll use natural.
So you do put your hands
pigment.
In it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And what it does is, when I painted Light of the Universe, that original is 8 feet high by 4 feet across, and I had never painted anything that big. And you're just doing huge sweeping motions. And what happens when you're using your hands, and they told me the work was coming through another from another dimension. I'm just the vehicle or the conduit. It opens up your heart, and you are in a totally different space. When mm-hmm. I'm in that creative mode, I'm in the zone. And
definitely.
I, most of the time, I don't know what's going to come out on canvas.
Definitely.
There were only a few times they showed me what the painting would look like before I started.
Oh, I see. So it's really experimental. See, like with me, I kind of go along too. And then I reference photographs, but I don't copy them, you know,
mm-hmm.
completely. I
right.
use them as a reference point. And then usually at some point I get some channeled ideas or images that I want to add to my paintings
mm-hmm.
so that they're distinctly different. And I use a lot of sky in the background to represent the heavenly realms, because I paint Diana, but I paint Mother Teresa and John Lennon and
right.
and others that are in the heavenly realms, and they all seem to give me different ideas, so you have to remain open to spirit. But that's very intuitive. I mean,
I
see where you're more intuitive than I am in your approach, because you're just kind of opening to the flow of spirit. And do you spend a small fortune on your paint? Because it looks like the paint is very... like almost like an encaustic on there. It's very thick.
It's with acrylics, the reason I love acrylics is because you can make it thick or you can make it as thin as a watercolor and float
mm-hmm.
shades in there. Everybody knows it costs money to be an artist, right? You have to still buy supplies. Unfortunately, those just don't come free.
So you are using a lot of thick paint, or does it depend on the...
paint is usually applied very thin, and
Where
I've used it, wherever you see dimension, like in Angel Haniel, the wings are very dimensional. So a blind person was feeling that. It's almost like you could feel everything. But
okay.
that, I used only a white feather dipped in paint, and I just kept applying the paint over and over and building it in layer after layer.
Because I haven't seen your work in original form, so
Okay.
I get you now, because I have not seen an original canvas, so it looked like it was very impasto on there, very thick.
Okay.
And now I understand that it's actually thin, and it's just the texturing that you're creating.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
And then sometimes I'll build up gold leaf, you know, on Angel Raphael.
Yeah.
It was many, many layers of gold metallic. And
gold leaf is an ancient material that was used extensively in the Renaissance by the early Renaissance masters. And that would kind of harken back, I think, to your heritage. I know we were talking about both of us coming up Catholic and being in the Cleveland area. And I know when I was a kid, I saw a lot of religious art using the gold leaf, and so that's beautiful.
Right.
I've used it, too. It's hard to use, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It just sticks to everything. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's paper thin. Not, it's less than paper thin, you know that. I create a big mess when I'm working with that. It just sticks to everything, like static electricity.
Well, I'm anxious to see your art when I do see the big show in Chicago. I mean, you're going to have all your art up there at the Lightworkers Conference, I presume. It'll be decorating everything, correct?
Yes, I usually don't work. I usually don't take originals. Maybe I'll bring one or two showcase
mm-hmm.
originals. I never travel with those, and I was told never to sell them, the originals.
Mm-hmm.
I kept seeing a big peace museum down the road, somewhere like a sanctuary where people come from all over the world to be able to see the originals. Because right now they come from all over the world to my house, and it's like this is still our private living quarters here. So,
yeah. I know. I've got all my originals in my private living quarters, and it's becoming very cramped. I had to do a major clean out this summer where I started, you know, moving things out to the garage because I just ran out of space.
Exactly.
And
the gallery is an angel gallery.
But, you know, this is inspiring me to want to keep working. That's the thing. I mean, I'm working two jobs right now, teaching art history and teaching art, and I'm very tied up with that. I do incorporate, you know, the art into my day when I'm teaching hands-on type art.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not the same as doing your own project in the privacy of your home. But I had about 6 years where I was working from home, and I was working all the time. So it's just a different phase that I'm in right now. I just have to, I guess, accept that for the limitation that it has for the time being. But I don't think you ever really quit creating more ideas. And so, you know, I think it's very interesting that you're tapping into the angelic realms, and they're actually like one-on-one with you, the way I am with, mm-hmm. with Diana when I'm doing paintings, or Mother Teresa. I get advice from the guides and masters that I actually paint, you know.
Right.
So it's pretty neat to be a visionary and to connect to these angels and then be actually able to share that dimension with others and that faith in
right.
in the angelic realm with others. That's
and my guide said that my art was just a vehicle to get me to where I was going, and then once you're in front of that stage, yes, you're talking about the art, but there's always other messages to enlighten people, to bring them
mm-hmm.
to the next level, to get them to see another way or another perception of something that they're looking at. That's the fun part of it. Because I'm sure
Absolutely.
How many people have you talked to, Marcia, on this program, that people are stuck in the mud right now, they don't know their life purpose, whatever it is, they're holding on to anger, and, you know, thank God we have people like you that have, you know, you've got a medium like this radio show that you can reach many and show them just a different way to look at a situation.
Well, yes, and I find, too, that while in uplifting others, you are also uplifted. So anything you do in service to others always seems to magnify.
Yeah, it opens up your heart.
And uplift you and tune, and tune you into the higher dimensions and the concept of peace and assisting people in whatever way. You know, which reminds me, I forgot to open up our phone lines for reading.
We could talk for 20 hours.
We could talk for hours, but if you're open to letting me interject and do some readings for our listeners, we can open that up, since
okay.
I have said that I would. And then if no one calls, we'll go right on with our continued interview with you. But I had forgotten, because we had so many things to cover at the start of show. So if you would like a very brief mini reading, we ask you to call in using the toll-free number at 877-876-5227 in the USA. And if you'd like to call it in, you're listening from Canada, please give us a call at 888-810-8322 and make your question brief, and I will tune to the angels right now. And if anyone would like to ask a question, please feel free to call. We're standing by.
Do you want to accelerate your ascension? Sign up for a reading with Archangel Michael through Marcia McMahon, Diana Speaks, at hotmail.com, or site index at www.dianaspeakstotheworld.com.
All right, we're back on. He pulled us off. He thought we're going on break.
Okay.
And I didn't hear any calls coming in, but that could be because we're pulled off air. So it may be that we don't have any callers, but
mm-hmm.
Our lines are open, callers, if you would like to go ahead and place a call. I'm here, and I haven't done readings in a while, so if you are wanting a reading, please feel free to call and ask. And the number is 877-876-5227. And I am sensing the presence of Archangel Michael overlighting our conversation, by the way, Joan. Go in.
Okay.
So that's very nice.
He's
you
been
also
very instrumental.
Us? Yes,
yes. Archangel
sure
Michael is
him.
One of the angels I call in when I do my energy healing work here.
Oh, okay. Beautiful.
Joan.
Have you had any visions of what he actually looks like? I'm curious to see if your vision matches mine or not, because they don't have to. I'm just curious.
Right. This is one thing I did learn from the angelic kingdom about how they appear to us, because there was so much controversy about this several months ago when, as you know, so many people channel Archangel Michael, and they all see him differently. And I asked the angels about this, and they said, we will appear to you however you need to see us. It doesn't matter if you see us with dark hair, blonde hair, blue eyes, dark. It doesn't matter. So, you know, that kind of put that to rest. But I've always seen him with the lighter hair, you know, and the beautiful blue aquamarine eyes.
Mm-hmm. I do see him with blue eyes. I'm not really sure on the hair color. I didn't think about it. I've had friends say that they see him with a breastplate that has many gems all over the breastplate,
right.
like a knight of some kind. I have to honestly say that I saw him more just as a white light type of being.
Right.
But I do see him as significantly taller than a regular human. He's large, and that's
right.
how I feel his presence. But I don't actually see anything very often. I just get more of a presence of someone on the other side, whether it's an angel
right.
or an ascended master. So
I know they
do
change their size, because I had one that I was on my back patio a couple years ago, and this huge being appeared to me, just like he was guarding over me, and he went past the roof of my house. And he gave me a name of Zandalfon or Sandalfon.
Oh, Zandalfon, yeah, I've heard of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he guards the base of the Tree of Life.
Interesting.
But
I did a painting of Metatron, and he is one of the angelic hierarchy, too. He's supposed to be the voice for God. Have you heard of Metatron?
Yes, Metatron is the male aspect of God, where Shekinah is the female aspect. And Metatron is also the brother of Sandalfon.
Now, that I didn't know.
Yeah, he guards the top of the Tree of Life, where Sandalfon guards the base.
Uh-huh. Very informative. You know, I know that there is a spiritual hierarchy to the angelic realm, and it's wonderful to explore this with you, because I'm continually learning more from various people. And I did know that Metatron was up there as the voice for God. I wasn't sure where Sandalfon fit in or what his function was as the... He's at the base of the Tree of Life. And I think we're referring to some of the ancient Hebrew Kabbalah, are we not?
Yes, that's true. And also, Sandalfon is, he guards on the human being, he's in charge of the feet from the tip of the toes to the tip of the Achilles. So I've made a Sandalfon oil where I use that, and we've had amazing success with that. And then his another thing that he's known as the big boy, he's the tallest of all angelic realms. And they, in mythological lore, they say just the hem of his dress is 5 miles high, but he's supposed to be huge. And he did show himself once to me, well, several times. So, but he shows up to me as like a very beautiful amethyst with a bluish color through his body, the etheric body, very deep voice. But and he also, they say that, when you pray to God, that he's the one that takes the prayers up to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the messenger. But they have, every angel has a gift within them that basically we all have within us. We simply forgot.
And, you know, I've heard also, and it's been made clear to me through the angelic work that I do in channeling through Archangel Michael, that a lot of us came from these angelic groups. And began incarnating on the planet in earlier times, that we have our origins. Very often, if we resonate with these angels, we very often come from an angel group. Now, it's said in some circles that the angels never incarnate. These other angels may not, but apparently there's soul groups that follow. So I feel that I'm in the Archangel Michael soul group. And with all the talk of ascension and everything, there's so many different theories and ways of looking at what's going on with ascension as well, and how the angels are assisting us and what all this means. So I'm just wondering if I could get your thoughts on that.
Well, I've dealt with countless groups out there and movements, and you know there's more than you can shake a stick at. And they all seem to have a different viewpoint on the angelic kingdom. There are some that swear that they've had angels appear to them, and the angel said that we have never been in human form ever, that we had a choice at one point if we were going to be angels or humans. So that's just one theory. Of course, it's all theories, and maybe we'll never know until we all get to go home.
Well, you know, I've been working with Michael, and I bring out his messages on my show, and he has alluded to the ascension event in 2012, and that there will be this new earth. And then from there, he told me, and this is, I don't know if we're talking eons of time or what, but he said that I would be choosing to follow him to a new galaxy known as the Golden Galaxy. And so it sounds very lovely. It sounds like a place of peace where there's no worries and no cares, and it's a magnificent creation that doesn't have the conflict that we have here. I don't know. You know, But I know that certain people incarnate are followers of certain angels. That I'm sure we can agree on. And it is a theory that they have never incarnated, but it's my understanding now from a more subtle experience and through some of my channeling, at least what he told me, that all of us at one time were part of this, and we are learning again to be a human angel.
Hmm. I know the angels always learn from us as well. You know, we always look to them, you know, for answers. They always tell me we do not want to be worshipped. We all have a direct line to, you know, that infinite, everybody has a different term for it, you know, the universal grid of energy, the source, the light,
mm-hmm.
whatever term you want to call. Many people get to see it when they cross over and they're told, it's not your time, go home, go back.
Yeah, well, as you say, it may be a lot longer down the road when we cross over to the other side that we find out all the mysteries, but then from what the work I do on the other side, it's a lot like here, and a lot of the people are interested in pursuing the same activities that they did while they were on Earth, too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you could paint in the heavenly realms, you can create music, and so that's a lot about, you know, what I'm featuring on the show through the work of this friend of mine, Bob Murray, who is doing this wonderful music for our program, you know.
Right.
And then I'm working on lyrics. So I do know that they do all kinds of other things, but... And I don't know that all the final answers are given when you cross over either. I think a lot of people think that every single answer will be made available, but
right.
I've learned that is not the case either, that you're in a situation of growth and furthering your understanding depending on your spiritual development.
Right.
But with Ascension coming on, there's a lot more buzz about the relationship of angels to Ascension and group souls and just all kinds of different wonderful concepts that need to be explored, and this is a perfect venue for that, this show and your work, and everybody has their understanding and their own relationship with an angel, but I think it's important for those listening maybe to the show to learn to tune in to their own angels. And then I wanted to ask you too, Joanne, if we can go into a little more detail about this wonderful event that's coming up. I think we should have you explain all the people that are coming and what you've got planned and, you know, everything on the agenda.
Sure. We have many, normally in a big an event like this has several keynotes, but we have many. One of them that is a big draw is Dolores Cannon, and she is referred to as the investigator of lost knowledge. She was like the grandmother of past life regression. She started back in the 60s. And through that, she garnered much information from her clients who were in that hypnotic state. And one of her most fascinating books is Jesus and the Essenes, and They Walk with Jesus, those two.
Yeah, I've read both of them, and they're great books.
Aren't they great?
I totally agree.
Yeah, and she comes in, and she usually has the whole morning. She takes us right through lunch. And she is such an inspiration to me because she's in her mid-70s,
mm-hmm.
and she's still writing. And she's more popular overseas than she is here. She's
is
also
that true?
An authority on crop circles, and she gets into all aspects of spirituality or metaphysical
mm-hmm.
and quantum physics. So then I'm really excited about our special guest from Italy on Friday evening, October 17th. Giovanni Maria Paola has made a fabulous discovery. She's studying about Leonardo da Vinci's masterpiece, The Last Supper, and what he has discovered, that there's a hidden requiem within that painting, but there's so much more. There's many, many layers. And when people say, oh, that's what another Da Vinci Code book, I'm like, no, this is based on true research, on facts. Where Da Vinci Code had facts and they twisted them to make a very interesting novel. Another guest speaker is Dr. Meg Blackburn-Losey. And she is an amazing channel herself. She'll do a live channel on Sunday, but she's also done a lot of research on the gifted children coming in. You know, the rainbow babies and the indigos, and she's written Children of Now and Conversations with the Children of Now. And then Patricia
Poole. Yeah, I've seen a lot of her channel, and she's very good.
Yeah.
That's
and she's also consulting now with 2020, and she's done work with Good Morning America. She's working with Shirley MacLaine now, and she just moved to Hollywood, like, days ago,
mm-hmm.
Hollywood, California. So I wouldn't be surprised if she has her own show soon. Patricia Poole will be coming in, and she does a lot of experiential work with the audience. And this year she's going to be doing Discovering Your Angel Essence. She's always fun. And Adela Dorothy Toy is going to be talking about traveling between the worlds. She's also head of the American Society of Dowsers. And she's always interesting. And then another keynote is Jean-Claude Gerard Coven, who was coming in from California. And he wrote Going Deeper. He's a best-selling author. He teaches us about raising our vibrations in the changing times with a sense of humor. So we also have a sound therapist, Judy Lynn Cole, and she gets into some deep stuff. A lot of that's even way over my head.
That sounded really fascinating.
But she could literally, she will find sound waves in your painting.
Hmm. And now, I'm curious, going back to the Da Vinci mystery, how they ever found music in the painting.
What he did is... Leonardo da Vinci always said, no one will be able to enter my work without knowing how I think. He was very dyslexic. He worked backwards. Did you know that when he had a notebook in front of him, he would write with his left hand, right to left, at the same time with his right hand, he'd be sketching. I can't even imagine that. I mean, just
well,
try
he
that.
Wrote in mirror writing, too.
And he wrote with mirrors. Yeah.
Yeah.
He had to figure out how his brain worked in order to see what he found in his painting. And... you know, I don't want to give it away, but there are some really amazing things in there. He found some Aramaic sayings written within there.
Pardon me?
He found Aramaic sayings from Jeshua.
Oh, so he knew about the Aramaic language of Jesus,
and,
really?
Yeah, and we all know Jeshua ben Yosef spoke in Aramaic.
Oh, yeah.
So, and when you put the Aramaic sayings, you know, he took them and he put a mirror on them. It formed a holy grail, the way they were shaped. So there's just... I was like, wow, dumbstruck when he showed me some of this through his interpreter. But that's going to be a fun night. Very fun.
I've done a lot of research on the Da Vinci Code myself on the program, and you reviewed that CD that I'm going to have up there, The Holy Grail Mysteries Revealed. So, yeah, that's it's all connecting. I feel that there will be people that I'm meant to connect with as I come up to your program, too.
Oh, yeah.
And I know it's going to be beautiful. I saw the pictures online, and it just looks like it's a first-class, well-organized, and very beautiful event as well.
Yeah. This is totally different from any expos that you see. It's not a sea of tables with everybody selling. It's I said, I'm going to do a first-class event, or I won't do it.
So you're still in the process of organizing, I'm sure. And we're thinking about having me speak on the life of Yeshua or remembering past lives or maybe a message from Jesus. And I will say to my listening audience that I do remember a past life as a female disciple of Jesus. And, you know, I'm there to also help others remember their past lives with him and to remember the greatness of the Master, to give him honor. And, of course, he's working with all of us, too, from behind the scenes at this time. And I'm sure he's overlighting this conversation we're having, actually. Too.
And I know he'll be present at that conference.
Yes, I know. And he's always been special and dear to my heart. And I was involved in a lot of different religions, probably every single one of them, throughout my adult life until I gave up religion.
Right.
But you know, that's the business of being a light worker. You have to come into your own enlightenment. You can't let organized religion do it for you.
Or movements, because there's a lot of spiritual movements out there thinking they are the only ones.
Yes, and I like the fact that you've got so much wonderful talent and diversity in your program here, and you've allowed everyone to have their gift and to speak. That's beautiful. You don't see that in all those light worker fairs. I do a lot of light worker fairs, and it's always about you buy the booth, and sometimes you kind of struggle to get heard, you know? And it looks like you're organizing it in a whole different way, so that'll be really neat. And then it sounds as if the people that come are wonderful, too. I know that...
They're awesome. Oh, my God, you are just... You're going to meet so many people that you're just going to say, oh, my God, I feel like I know you.
Oh, yeah, it's a spiritual homecoming, I'm sure.
It is.
That I so look forward to. That's going to be wonderful. And so the website, if people want to sign up, is...
It's www.lightworkersconference.com.
Okay, lightworkersconference.com. And give out your other site, and we have to conclude today because I just checked my watch. We have about 3 minutes left, enough time to play music.
My art site is www.angelic-art.com.
Yes, and everyone listening, please check out her angel art. It is magnificent. And please consider coming up to Chicago and attending this wonderful event. There's going to be some beautiful music from your son and a special appearance by Sean Galloway, too, I wanted to mention.
He's fabulous. Oh, they're both fabulous. You are in for such a treat.
Yeah. So it's not that expensive to attend. Your meals are all covered, and it's held at a very top-notch hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll just be a wonderful event. And I look forward to meeting up with you finally after talking with you in email and over the phone for a couple of years now.
Yes.
Many blessings to you, Joanne, for being on the program. It was delightful to hear you talk about your art. And I know we could go on and on, but we're going to close out with a special tune dedicated to her work. And this is also dedicated, of course, this is from George Harrison from the other side. Excuse me a minute while I check my title on this song. It's got something to do with angels and something for Gossamer Wings. About angels. So we're going to close out with Something for Gossamer Wings. That's written by Bob Murray, inspired by George Harrison. Many blessings to our listeners today, and thank you. We'll see you next week.